Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight is a solo podcast. I'm just going through my best 23 for 2024 version 2 team. You might have caught a glimpse of it last week when I had Siobhan and Jesse on. Sorry there's only been the one episode this week, but I have had a lot on. I haven't had a spare minute to myself, so it's been hard to organise to get a guest on when I really haven't had a schedule this week. It's been a bit all over the shop. Next week should return to a bit of normality. I've had birthdays and kids starting school as well, so it's been a bit hectic. But like I said, I should be back to a bit of normality with guests on next week, rather than listening to my shitty, ugly voice. Anyways, you're stuck with me for tonight, so this is the format. So I'm going to go through, like I said, best 23 for 2024. I'm going to go to the depth chart. So, a lot of times I have mentioned through the course of podcasts that we do have a lot of depth in the midfield and, half forwards. So, I'll go through each player and where they're positioned in the depth chart. So I'll show you how many, midfielders, forwards and key forwards and key defenders we've got on the list. So I'll go through that and also talk about the list demographic as well. And, players, how many players we've got, 22 and under, and, players between 23 and 27 years old and over 28 years old. So just go through the list demographics as well. Anyways, I will start with my best 23 for 2024 version 2. So in the back line, it hasn't changed too much. So I've still got Callan Dawson in the back pocket, Aiden Corr, Josh Goda across that full-back line. I've moved Harry Sheasel into half-back flank with Bailey Scott on the other one and Charlie Comyn. I really like that combination. I really enjoyed how those two worked together, in particular last year against Gold Coast Suns. So, and just judging by the match sim game, I know it's early and I'm not going to certainly put a, write him off as a midfielder just yet, but I'd like to see Harry Sheasel still play off halfback flank. He certainly creates a lot there. I mean, I know I was bullish. I said, let's get the best player into the midfield, but, I would like to see other players go through there. We've got a lot of options there, so there's no rush with him there. I mean, he's still only 19, so plenty of time in his career to go through that. So he's been the main change, that being the only change off figure in the back line from my last team. In the centre square, LDU, no reason I need to explain for that. On the wings, I've got Dylan Stevens, who's had a very good preseason, and Zach Fisher on the other wing as well. Pending a hamstring, it is a slight, he does have a slight hamstring strain, but it shouldn't stop him from playing or getting a run, before round one or anything like that. So he might play in, probably won't play in the game. I think it's about a week and a half away against St Kilda, but he might get the Collingwood game the week after in the second practice match. So, I've got him on the other wing at the moment. I'd still like to see him maybe even trialed as a half forward, forward pocket, small forward. So, that might be an option this year as well. So look out for that. Centre half forward line, I have Cameron Zerha. I've kept him there. Jai Simpkin, and I've put in Zane Dersma. I really like the look of him. I think I might have mentioned this to Jesse and Siobhan last week, that he's probably not going to get many touches, but what he does inside 50 is very classy, and I'd rather quality of touches than quantity, to be honest with you. There is a lot of talent there, and definitely get him some games early. You may as well see what you got. He's certainly got the talent, and he's probably a lot stronger than what he looks too. He certainly did look quite strong in the hips in the match sim game when I was watching him, and even before that training. So, look out for him. Full forward line, Nick Larkey, no need to say much there. Paul Curtis and Jaden Stevenson in the forward pockets as well. In the ruck, now this is where it gets a bit interesting. I've gone CCJ as number one ruck. So yeah, he looked pretty good in the match sim, being the number one ruck. His follow up work was really good, very good around the ground. And yeah, look, I think I would like to see him play there, to be honest with you. If we're going to play a run and gun style, like, you know, I mean, the club has shown on its socials and from what I've seen, then it'd probably suit him more than a Tristan Sherry. Ruck Rover, I've got George Wardlaw. He's a play. Look, he's very much a Clayton Oliver type, and I think the thing that concerns me, I don't think it's going to be, a lack of not getting possessions. It's just his kicking is a bit of a concern at the moment. I think his skills are a bit shaky still. I did see him shank a couple of kicks in the match sim, and we certainly did see it last year when he was playing. But Clayton Oliver in his early days, he was very similar, but he worked on his craft and became a reliable kick without being his repertoire or anything like that. And I think you'll see that with Wardlaw. He's going to be an in and under player, and he'll work well with LDU. And I've got Charlie Lazaro, has looked really good in the preseason. He did get a couple mentions by the players that he's been one of the outstanding performers in the preseason. So yeah, look, I've gone with him. I think he'll work really well with LDU Wardlaw. I've got him. Yeah, look, I know I'm going to talk about Tom Powell fairly soon, but I've got him ahead of him at the moment, and I really like him this year. He's come a long way when you think about it. I think it was this time 12 months ago that I pretty much thought he wasn't good enough, because he certainly was a fumbly player, but he's turned into a really good one-touch player. His kicking is quite good now. I think it's quite solid. I don't think he's going to hit up targets or anything like that, but he's got a long penetrating kick. So, yeah, he's come a long way with that. So, yeah, no, I'm really bullish on him this year. On interchange, I've gone Hugh Greenwood, second ruckman, and, a general forward as well that can pinch it up there, that will pinch it up there. And, yeah, I really like him as a second ruck, to be honest with you. And we need a bit of experience in that team because it is very inexperienced, as I'll go through the list demographic fairly soon as well. So, yeah, I don't mind him as that, floating forward that can pinch it in as a second ruckman. So, and that's got a bit of experience that can really guide the kids because, we certainly are lacking a lot of experience this year. Got Colby McKercher, been outstanding in the preseason. We'll go through that back seven with Sheasel, Scott, Goda, Zach Fisher as well, go through there, probably even Dylan Stevens on occasions. So, I think he'll get plenty of time on ground this year. And, if you're going to play run and gun, he's certainly a player that you want the ball in the hands with because he has got a long penetrating kick, can break a line. So it's certainly, I think it's a good initiation for him to go to the halfback flank and, learn his craft there. So I'm really excited by him this year. I've got Luke McDonald in their team as well on the interchange bench. I did talk about this with Siobhan and Jesse last week. I'm not too sure what his role is this year. I've probably got him as a out of the back seven, to be honest with you. I mean, pending injuries and suspensions and so forth, but I've got him out of there. Just our back line looks a lot more balanced without him there. Is he good enough as a small defender? I'm not too sure. Can he give us a bit of rebound? They certainly panic with the way he distributes the ball sometimes. And, he's a player that, he might have to push up the ground to a wing or, even maybe a half forward. I'm not too sure. So, even though I've never seen him play that role before, but as captain, they're going to give him an opportunity and I think he'll get one early, pending how his hamstring is recovering. Still doing laps and so forth around the ground, so not really participating in match sims, so he might not be ready for round one. And if he's not ready by round one, then he might ease back into it going through the reserves and find full fitness because, he did that hamstring with second last round last year, so he obviously had to get surgery on that, so might be still hindering him by the sounds of it. The last in the change spot before the sub is Will Phillips. Good in and under player, certainly deserves his opportunity. We'll rotate with Lazaro, Wardlaw, So yeah, I expect him to have a similar role to last year. Might be on the fringes of the team, but yeah, we're certainly hoping there's more growth this year, and does show good leadership for a young fella as well. So yeah, that's my 22. Now, you know, I did read that it still is four interchanges and a sub this year. So yeah, I've gone as a sub, Darcy Tucker, being a standout in pre-season, whatever that means, or whether that means much, I'm not too sure. We certainly got standout from Jared Pollock a couple of years ago in pre-season, and that didn't work out too good. So yeah, you can read into it what you want. I think Darcy Tucker is a good, honest footballer. I think we've seen the best of him in his career. A good role player, can play wing, half back. Has shown glimpses that he's going to play a little bit half forward as well. So yeah, I mean, that might be his role this year. I don't think it's going to change too much. So he's generally, one thing I've noticed with him, he's generally a very reliable shot at goal. I've never, like, if he's inside 50 on a run, you could put your glasses down, really. I think he's, he kicked a few goals like that last year. He never looked like missing one. So I remember Dennis Kometi years and years ago said that he's got the best kick in Western Australia when he first came into the system. So yeah, that's going back a long time. So yeah, I think he'll get a game based on his experience as well. He's played over 100 AFL games. We don't have many of those players into the system. So yeah, I think he'll get a game based on that. So apologies to Miller Bergman, just on the outer, Jackson Archer as well. He's still struggling with a groin at the moment, so he's probably a fair way away. So obviously he had this problem this time last year as well during the preseason. So he's obviously having issues with his groin at the moment and getting that right. So he's probably a fair way away. Tom Powell, I suppose, is the big one. I know a lot of people are on Tom Powell this year, giving him the big Danish back end, but yeah, you know, I mean, look, you probably will play, but you know, I still don't know who's going to come out. Is it going to be Charlie Lazaro? Maybe Charlie Lazaro, Will Phillips, maybe one of those two miss out, or even Luke McDonald if he's not fit, and he probably comes in for him. So maybe Zane Dersma might come out just for a bit of experience. You get Tom Powell in there, can play half forward. Looks like he's going to play midfield and in the forward line, from what he says, but it's been really good in pre-season. So yeah, well, look, he's probably too good of a player to leave out because he does have a lot of quality. I'd just like to see that quality more consistently through four quarters of the game. So I've got him out, and I know a lot of people are probably yelling at whatever listening device they're listening to, and probably calling me a dickhead and every other thing under the sun, but which is fine. That's what we're here for, to talk about these things and, you know, have a debate about it, a friendly debate about it. So yeah, if you go to, was it Josh Neal's thing in a couple of weeks, you can see me there and tell me off then. So in person, might be a bit better. No, all good fun. I've got Toby Pink as well out of the team. Yeah, I really like Callum Dawson. He's looked pretty good in pre-season. I know I've only seen little snippets of him. He looked good in the match sim. Aiden Corr, if he's not fit, he's still having a few dramas with his foot. So yeah, if as long as he's fit, he'll play. And Charlie Coleman has looked really good floating defender. And just with the defensive seven, because I call it a defensive seven, it's going to be a very much a zonal defense this year. Oh, that's what the AFL is going towards. So, yeah, it'll probably suit Charlie Coleman, who's just going to float in and be the intercept like he was in the match sim where he took seven intercept marks. I do think they did say on their socials they've got an intra-club match that they're streaming next week. So look out a bit there as well. Riley Hardiman, I don't think he'll be far from a debut. He's looked really good in the preseason. Good left foot, good rebounding defender. So, you know, I mean, you get a couple of injuries, he'll certainly be in the frame. Biggie Newen has, you know, looked all right when I watched him last week. But, yeah, I've still got Dawson, Corr, Comben. He might be, you know, he can always play as a fourth defender. I don't think he's big enough to play anything other than, I don't think he's big enough to play key position, but he can certainly play as, someone that would benefit from a zonal defense where he can come in and intercept and, you know, play on a, you know, small, you know, in a matchup, he goes on the worst forward of the opposition. I expect him to play a few games this year, actually. Liam Shields, apologies to him as well. Not really. I mean, I think I was on a Yank Talking Footy podcast the other day, and he sort of mentioned that Liam Shields has played 280 or 70 odd games. If he plays every game, he'll get to 300 games if you make a grand final. I said if he's playing every game, then we're probably in trouble, to be honest with you. I'd like to. I think Jesse nailed it best. I'd like to only see him play four or five games this year, to be honest with you. That would be ideal. I'd like to see other players get that opportunity. I think Alistair Clarkson does have a lot of trust in him, so that might make a difference. Like, he might pick a Liam Shields ahead of Will Phillips, round one. It wouldn't surprise me. And I know a lot of people would be against that. But, as far as AFL experience, a guy that's played in premierships, that's a very smart footballer, generally you do go with a lot of experience early in the season as well. Look, he's still good enough to play AFL football. He's probably lost a step or two, but, he's still got his smarts and he's still quite fit as well. Came in the top 10 in the time trials the other week. So, he'll probably get a game early, but will slowly be phased out, I would think. And I've got... Cooper Harvey as well as an apology, only because we've got too many half forwards. There's too many options. Has certainly shown some good signs. Kicked four goals in the match sim a couple weeks ago, so he will get opportunities. But geez, he's just a tough one to fit in at the moment. And Tristan Sherry, obviously. So I've gone CCJ ahead of him. Do I have much faith in Tristan Sherry? I don't think many people do at the moment. Hopefully he can prove us wrong. I actually prefer CCJ as far as just a mobile unit in around the ground, and his follow up work in the match sim was quite good. Threw his body weight around, which I've been critical of in the past, and he actually looked really good doing that. So that's my best 23. Throw in your best 23. You can send it to me direct message on Instagram, wherever you want, really. And we'll have a discussion about it. I might even put in a podcast or something like that. So, that's my best 23 at the moment. I'll probably do a couple more versions of that. So, we'll move forward now. Now, I will go through a depth chart. Now, I know I've mentioned that we've got 37 midfielders and 100 half forwards. So, I'll go through it all. So, this is how Ricky... So, I've done this through the shinboner.com. Which has just come out recently, so get behind Ricky's work. You can do this, you can support him through $5 a month or $10 a month. I always go to $10 a month. I mean, it's only $10 a month, and you support one of your own ravishing Ricky Mangides, and he does articles. He's doing a lot of work at the moment. Haven't been able to get him on a podcast just yet. He's a very busy man at the moment, obviously doing his website, but I'll try and get him on the next couple of weeks and we'll have a good chat about things. So, small defenders, I've got Luke McDonald, Jackson Archer, and I've put Josh Goda in as a small defender as well. I think that will be his role, as a small lockdown defender that can certainly show a lot of rebound. I'm really high on Josh Goda. I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast know that, but I'm really high on him this year. Coming into his age 21 year as well. So, really looking forward to him this year. So, key defenders, we've actually got quite a few now. So, we've got, Aiden Corr, Callan Dawson, Griffin Logue, Toby Pink, and Charlie Common. So we've got five key defenders this year. So I think three of them will play every week, and two will miss out. If I was going to say someone early, it would probably be... Look, I think once Griffin Logue comes back in, he might take a Callan Dawson, I would have to think. But we've got Corr, Dawson, Logue, Pink, and Combin. So it's not a bad key defensive unit, to be honest with you. It could be a lot worse. Obviously lost Ben McKay, so it's put a bit of a hole in it, but it's not too bad. Key forwards, so we've only got the three. Nick Larkey, Callum Coleman-Jones, can you put him as a key forward? I've got him as a number one ruckman, so that's probably been a bit generous. And Finbar Maley as well, who's a young developing player, age 21, rookie, so looked okay in the match sim from what I've seen, but I think he'll be a fair way away from playing an AFL game. General forwards, so we've got a lot of these. I've got eight here, so I've got Hugh Greenwood as a general forward, but he'll rotate between the forward line and second ruck this year when he does play. Cameron Zerha, Jaden Stevenson, Curtis Taylor, Eddie Ford, Paul Curtis, Cooper Harvey, Zane Dersma. So you probably fit in. Like, do you have Paul Curtis as a small forward or as a general forward? I've got him as a general forward. I don't know if he. Yeah, look, he'll probably have to play as a small forward in the senior team, but I've got him as a general forward here. You probably think Greenwood will play, Zerha, Stevenson, Ford will play when he's fit, Paul Curtis, and Zane Dersma will probably be in and out of the team. So that's five. The unlucky ones are Curtis Taylor. I'm not too sure where he's at in his football career, so it's a big year coming up for him. Cooper Harvey as well, only age 20, so plenty of time to develop for him. On ballers, now we've got a lot of these as well. So Liam Shields, Jai Simpkin, Luke Davies-Uniac, Taron Thomas, Charlie Lazaro, Will Phillips, Tom Powell, George Wardlaw. So that's eight. It's not too bad. I thought there was a lot more than that, actually. But, you probably have to think that Jai Simpkin will play. I think he'll play a high half forward this year. And they'll certainly start him as a high half forward. But I think he'll we've tried that in the past. And then he ends up in the midfield. Luke Davies-Uniac, it's his midfield. Taron Thomas, the jury is still out on what the hell's going on there. It's been fairly quiet, which is a little bit of a concern. Look, he's still recovering from a groin strain, so they've taken him away from the club. He'd probably be away from the club anyway, because he's obviously still recovering from groin surgery he had a few months ago. So I think, putting a band-aid on top of it anyway, to the media that, he's indefinitely away from the club, but I think he's got an injury anyway. Charlie Lazaro, you know how bullish I am on him. Will Phillips, Tom Powell, all players 22 years old. So coming into big parts of their career, like I'll talk about in a minute, and George Wardlaw as well, age 20 year, and obviously we're really high on him. So eight midfielders. Competition for spots there is going to be quite hot between those eight. You probably can only pick five. And you've probably got Cameron Zerha that might go through there as well on occasion. So, yeah, a lot. Small forwards, only got the two, Blake Drury, Robert Hanson. I spoke to Siobhan. I think I asked this question to Siobhan last week and sort of said, you can't just pick a small forward just for team fit. And she agreed with that. And, yeah, look, I don't think those boys will get a game early anyway. So hopefully they can show enough in the reserves. They can certainly push for a claim in the team. I like Hanson ahead of Drury, just a bit more X factor. He's got a bit more pace as a small forward, but I still think there's a fair way to go before he's considered for the team, but you never know. Wingers, I've got Darcy Tucker, Bailey Scott, and Dylan Stevens. You could probably throw, Zach Fisher, like I think I've named him as a winger. Luke McDonald might push up there. Even Josh Goda could probably go up there. So, yeah, there's a lot more wingers, but they're the main three. Bailey Scott's probably going to play halfback. So I think Darcy Tucker will get a game, and he'll play on the wing early. Bit of experience as well. Like I said, over 100 AFL games. Has had a good preseason. He's flying. He's going to win a Brownlow, according to the media and all reports. So, yeah, look, you might as well get him in early. Ruckman, Hamish Free. I can't say I'm high on him. Tristan Sherry or Callum Coleman-Jones. I've got Callum Coleman-Jones in the team, but Tristan Sherry will probably get a game, to be honest with you, round one. And Taylor Goad, a young developing player. I think he was like a pick of 20-odd in the draft, so he's going to take years before he gets going. Being compared to Max Gawn. So that's obviously exciting. Every draft prospect gets compared to a superstar of the competition. General defenders, so Biggie Newen, Miller Bergman, Braden George is going to be a general defender this year, and the reserves obviously start his craft there. I talked about him with Siobhan last week. I'll keep plugging last week's podcast, but I actually talked to someone, so that was good, rather than talking into a microphone. So I talked about Braden George, and she sort of said, look, there's too much X factor for him to play in a half-back flank, so he should be playing half-forward. Or forward pocket, but Who are we to judge? Harry Sheasel, I've got him as a general defender. You could certainly put him as an on-baller. Will Dawson, probably a bit too skinny to be playing BK position just yet, but similarly into that Biggie Nguyen mould, only just turned 19. Riley Hardiman, Colby McKercher, and Zach Fisher. So, yeah, a lot of left-footers that I named there, the last three. So, yeah, Colby McKercher will probably get first crack there. Zach Fisher will certainly get a crack as long as he's fit. So, so that's the positional tier. So I've got 8 general forwards, 8 on-ballers, and 8 general defenders. And, you know, there's holes. Probably the key position stock is the real hole at the moment. We don't have great bookends besides Nick Larkey. I mean, could you say Griffin Logue's a good bookend? I'm not too sure. He couldn't get a game at Fremantle his last year. We're certainly hoping Charlie Condon can be one. Aiden Corr can find his form from GWS days. So, yeah, that's probably where we're really struggling a little bit, the bookends, the key position stocks. So, yeah, there's potential there for it to be handy, but still a fair way to go. And that's probably just been through drafting too much small players and mid-sized players. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is what it is now, so we can't do much about it. Yeah, and that's what you tends to happen when you have high draft picks and you go best available rather than positional needs, which is what generally most teams do. So player contracts, I just want to go through that. So we've got, I think I counted 20 players out of contract at the end of the year. So, you know, a lot of players playing for their careers. So I'll go through them all. Jackson Archer, Callan Dawson, Blake Drury, Eddie Ford, Hamish Free, Braden George, Hugh Greenwood, Robert Hanson, Cooper Harvey, Charlie Lazaro, Finn Bart-Maley, Biggie Nguyen, Will Phillips, Toby Pink, Tom Powell, Bailey Scott, Liam Shields, Curtis Taylor, Taron Thomas, Cameron Zerha. So, yeah, interesting names here. Who would you prioritise in re-signing? I think Bailey Scott's going to be number one, doesn't he? Like, into the leadership group now. He's really grown his football. As obviously shown his leadership in the pre-seasons and, you know, certainly communicating a lot out there. I think he's got to be number one. I think Eddie Ford, I think there's too much X factor for, you know, would probably want to sign him up for at least a couple more years. Cameron Zerha, I'd still like to see him re-signed. Yeah, look, I mean, another X-factor forward. I'd like to see him get another couple more years at it. You know, he's coming into his prime. We can't afford to lose these types of players. You know, we've lost, Ben McKay. You know, players that have played 80, 90 games and, you know, we're ready to take that next step. And, you know, he's certainly at that. And he's got that potential to win your game by himself. Charlie Lazaro, Will Phillips, Tom Powell, you know, we don't want to lose any of them because we put a lot of time and development into them. I'm not too sure if there's going to be much of a market. I know there wasn't much of a market for Tom Powell last year. So, you know, there was talk that maybe he might go back to Adelaide. So there's certainly a possibility of that this year. So we'll wait and see how that goes. Certainly has looked good in the preseason. The rest, yeah, I mean, the jury's obviously still out for a lot of them. You know, you'd have to think that a lot of those players, they'll probably have to wait to the end of the year to see if they get another contract. You know, Robert Hanson, Hamish Free, Jesus, I don't want to say too much there. Blake Drury, they're probably ones that Biggie Nguyen, I mean, we didn't pay much for him anyway. So, yeah, if it works out, it works out. It doesn't. So, big year for him if he's going to make it at AFL level. In 2025, we've obviously got 10 contracted players. 2026, we've got 8. Interesting to see Riley Hardiman, Taylor Goad, Zane Dersmer, Will Dawson, all contracted till 2026. So, didn't realise they must have all been first-round picks. That's why you get a three-year contract. Harry Sheasel, George Wardlaw, and Colby McKercher till 2026, so thank God for that. 2027, we've got Zach Fisher. Jeez, that's a long contract. Griffin Logue, Dylan Stevens, So they're big contracts for those individuals that we got from other clubs. I guess if you're a bottom of the table team and you want to get players, you kind of have to go long deals to get them across to the club. Otherwise, they're just going to stay at the other clubs. So, you know, these players, you know, got, what is it, 4-year contracts, effectively. Griffin Lowe got 5 years. Zach Fisher's still got 3 more years after this year, as well as Dylan Stevens. So, yeah, that's fair enough. And we obviously signed Nick Larkin and Jai Sibkin to huge long-term deals until 2029. Locking them in. So yeah, interesting in that regard. There's all, you know, there's 20 uncontracted players. There's probably only 3 or 4 that I'll have to think are certainties that you want to sign, and the rest are, you know, like Tarryn Thomas is an interesting one. We don't know what the hell's going on with him off the field. He could never play for the team again. I don't know any inside information or anything like that, but yeah, that's I mean, that's where it's at the moment. So until we hear more, but hopefully that's not it for him. I'll just go through our list demographic before I finish off. So we have got 20 players, 22 and under this year. You know, Tom Powell, Will Phillips, Charlie Lazaro, Eddie Ford, 22 in their age 22 year. We've obviously got 5 players in their age 19 year: Colby McKercher, Zane Dersma, Riley Hardiman, Taylor Goad, Will Dawson, age 20 year, so they're turning 20 this year: George Wardlaw, Harry Sheezel, Cooper Harvey, Robert Hanson, Blake Drury, and Braden George. So, yeah, it's a very, very young list. So we've got, I'm just going to count now, 3, 6, 10, 14, 18, 19 players between 23 and 27, so 20 in that age group. So what's that? That's about 39 players I've counted. Charlie Common, Biggie Newen, Dylan Stevens, only 23 years old. 26-year-olds, there's 8 of them. So we've got Cameron Zerha, Jai Simkin, Toby Pink, Griffin Logue, Nick Larkey, Hamish Free, Zach Fisher, Callum Dawson. So, yeah, big years for some of them coming up. Jai Simkin, Cameron Zerha, obviously Griffin Logue as well. So still very young at their peak of their careers. Age 25 year, Luke Davies Uniac is an interesting one. Callum Collins Jones, so it's time, you know, he's not a kid anymore, he's 25 now, so, or 24, and he's coming up to his age 25 year. So 28 and over, we've only got 4 players on the list now. Luke McDonald, so he's turning 29 this year. Aiden Corr's turning 30 this year. Hugh Greenwood, 32, and Liam Shields, 33. So only those 4 players. And you have to think, Liam Shields is out of contract. Hugh Greenwood is out of contract. They might not be there next year either. So, yeah, it could even get a lot younger. So, yeah, very, very inexperienced young team. And that's probably going to hurt us in the end. Like, I know, you know, I've got a couple of messages from people sort of saying, oh, geez, you're being a bit pessimistic, only thinking we can only win 3 or 4 games. But when you don't have the experience and don't have the guidance of, older players, and, I mean, you know, a lot of these players that have played, you know, 50, 60, 100 games, you know, like, let's say someone from Collingwood, they've won a lot of games, they get that belief. We just have a number of players that don't have that belief just yet, and it's all good and well saying it, but when the game's in the crunch and, you know, we have to win games of football, we're probably just going to be short in a lot of times. Like, we were sort of second half of last year, and there's nothing wrong with that. If we lose games 120 to 110 or something like that, or 110 to 100, and it's good you know, brand of football to watch, then that's, you know, that's the most important thing. I've called it the rebuild of the rebuild, and that's certainly what it is. This is probably what we should have done, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. It certainly probably should have been something we did, I was going to say Cooper Harvey, Robert Harvey, geez, I'm really losing it at the moment, Brent Harvey, Nick Del Santo, and a number of others, you know, Drew Petrie and all that, were pushed aside. This is, you know, that's when we sort of should have been going through this age list demographic back then, pretty much. But we try to fast track it by getting players like Jared Pollock and, you know, Dom Tyson, and so forth, and it just didn't work out. And you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I can sit here and say, you know, that it was a terrible idea, and we really fucked up. But you know, I didn't say much at the time, so yeah. And we weren't far away, to be honest with you, from getting Dustin Martin. It looked like it was pretty much over the line. And I think if Richmond didn't win a flag or didn't even play finals that year, which was pretty close at one stage, like halfway through the year they were struggling, then I think he would have come across. And then you're looking at a completely different team and a completely different rebuild. Who knows? We might have won a flag or two. If we got him, you probably would have got Josh Kelly as well. So, you know, and he's a very good player. So, you know, very, very good footballer. So, yeah, that's it for this episode. Anyway, so I've gone through a fair bit there. Once again, thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you could tell your friends, I think that's the best way for people to find out about the podcast. If you can tell friends or any North supporter about it, that would be much appreciated. If you can leave a rating and review as well. So, look, I don't know, if someone's looking for a North podcast, they might be able to see it through your rating or review, then that would be much appreciated as well. So that's it for this episode. I will be back next week. I'll get back to two episodes next week. I did do an episode with a Yank. Jeez, I can't even remember. I'm sorry about this. What's his name? A Yank on a footy podcast. So Craig Wessels, with Craig Wessels. Sorry, I've completely lost my marbles. I've been talking far too long, to be honest with you, by myself. With Craig Wessels, previewing the North Melbourne season. So you can check that out. That could be your two episodes. I did retweet it the other day on X. That's it. Like I said, I'll be back next week. So bye for now, and go Roos.